What do you want? Statement of purpose? Should I email you? Should I put this on your action item list?
Look.
You decide your own level of involvement.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
You are now listening to the Patriot Power Hour, the newest show of the Prepper Broadcasting Network. This live episode features the situational awareness you need to practice self-reliance and independence. Introducing your hosts, Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, and Future Dan, the editor of FutureDanger.com.
Hey, folks, we're live, we're back. Patriot Power Hour, August 18th, 2020. Ben the Breaker of Banksters Cochran with my co-host, Future Dan of FutureDanger.com. How you doing there, sir?
Yeah, good. It's second half of August 2020, and we're going to get back after having a few breaks, missing a few episodes. We're back strong with full intention to make every week for the rest of season 11, summer 2020.
Absolutely. Definitely. We went on, I think, the first 6 months without even missing 1 week. And we've only missed, I think, a couple weeks. And last week I gave a quick 15-minute news blitz. But no, I agree. Pretty much from here on out, I expect to be here every single week until the election and beyond. And that's just if things stay the way they are. If it gets more intense and crazy, which it's pretty sure to do. Maybe doing special reports, etc., etc. So yeah, no rest for the weary, for sure.
I'm kind of interested in your opinion, whether you think in the past couple of weeks, when we took it to a low intensity on Patriot Power Hour, whether there's any trends building that you're concerned about tonight, or are we sort of in the same pre-election, summer elections fiasco of 2020 that we were already at in July?
Well, specifically focus on the election, actually, which, you know, I don't really even bring up that often, and we don't even talk that much, even though the freaking election's coming right up. It's like less than 3 months away. Like 80 days or something. So I don't know if it's just kind of false propaganda or just people chirping and it's realistic or not. I know you've said in the past that you think it's not a big deal. But the election being delayed or modified or just simply disputed. I mean, even if...
Oh, it's going to be disputed.
Exactly.
That's no prediction. That's seeing reality.
So, but I've seen that narrative really grow in the last 2 to 3 weeks, I feel like.
How do you stop it from happening, though?
Well, like you said, I think it'd be disputed without COVID. With COVID, it's going to be pretty ridiculous.
How do you get 50 state apparatuses to agree to not have their election?
I have no idea, man.
You think any of this, because of COVID, we're not going to do it. Meanwhile, the other 49 states are going to hold their election and have their votes count. I mean, the constitutional rules are pretty clear. It goes to the House if they don't get enough electoral ballots, but...
So I guess the question is, will it be just a handful of states, like 3 or 5, or will it be like 20, 25, or, a great majority of
whatever amount...
Want to delay.
After a certain threshold, it goes to the House of Representatives. The Constitution already provides.
So what's the threshold, like 2/3? I don't even know.
Yeah, we're going to have to research that in the break.
Yeah.
So I know it's there. And it's been thrown to the House before.
Okay.
And...
Well, do you feel like that's in... Let's just say the threshold's 50%, just to be conservative, right? If 50% of Electoral College votes, I suppose, or maybe even the states, we'll do the research, says no, do you think that's even reasonable or no? You think it'll be like 20% and therefore a non-starter, not a big deal? Just like a few states will try and then... But, the vast majority will continue... Is that what you're expecting?
Well, the pressure on all of them to continue to have their election is massive because if they do some kind of COVID, we're not going to do it normally this year, non-election stunt, their votes don't count. They don't, as far as I can tell, they don't get seated in Congress.
Right.
Like, you need to elect your congressmen and senators, or you don't get to have them, or their governors, I suppose, would appoint them. But that would be, you know, absurd to think any of that's happening. This election's happening. Our elections don't not happen short of Yellowstone multi-state super volcano, right?
Or that some might be worse than just the election.
East Coast. Yes, like some earth-shattering event. Then I could see us not having an election.
Well, okay, then let's say delayed or postponed.
How? How do any of those states do that? Every single date towards the actual Electoral College is firm. Federal law says it's in the okay. And the Constitution says it's on the
so what happened, Tuesday. So then what do you actually foresee happening when majority of folks aren't actually going out and both parties are just saying this is a fake election, both sides are cheating, blah, blah,
who
blah,
cares?
Blah, blah.
It just matters how the votes are counted.
But when the votes are not counted, because there's so much issues with it, that, you know, 5, 10, 20% of votes are counted.
What state's not going to count the votes cast?
They don't have the infrastructure in place, from what I've seen, to be able to handle this.
Well, they're going to count something.
Exactly. They're going to count something. So
but then there's
people
a
gonna
deadline
say that's fraudulent.
Where the Secretary of State for each state signs the affidavit, you know, signs the statement, this is the winner of our state. That's what happened with Bush versus Gore. And it came down to the Secretary of State of Florida, who said, I validate this candidate was the winner in our state. And from there, pow, right into the
So you said, so here's, I remember this. You said in previous episodes that when you were in the military, they were staging up for potential riots during that, right? During 2000 election.
Oh, I didn't say there won't be riots.
Well, that's what I'm saying. This will be about 50 times worse. This will be much, much worse on both sides.
Well, remember the federal forces pretty
hanging chads. This is way worse than hanging chads.
The federal forces pretty much disobeyed the president through the Secretary of Defense. He would not bring, you know, those units into the District of Columbia. You don't even have to suspend posse comitatus to do that. I mean, ultimately, the president could just suspend posse comitatus and use federal forces wherever there was, you know, grievous harm being done and states were not policing themselves. That's all on the table in 2020 for sure. What I don't see as being on the table is not having an election.
Okay.
I just can't conceive of how the pressure by all other states to put power into D.C.
Right.
is not consistently, like, ultimately, no matter what we say, California's going to have a federal election. New York's going to have a federal election. How can they not? Colorado, Wyoming, Texas, they're going to have it. How corrupt each and every one of them is, how stolen each and every one of them is an entirely separate question, but I'm pretty sure it's going to happen.
Okay. I'm glad we got that clarified. I think I just kind of formulated it. I don't even consider those real elections if they're that fraudulent, though. That's why I kind of this has been hanging in my head.
They're real because they result in the people that
they're as real as, yeah, like a Soviet Union election.
Yeah, they're more competitive.
They're going to be close. Not that, I mean, just like they could be that bad in certain areas, you know.
Every one of our elections is, for the most part, most of the votes for any race are legitimately cast and competitive. It's the margin.
Now, I'm just saying.
It's the margin.
Not with COVID going on and this
Soviet
stuff.
Soviet Union, like they said, you have one candidate and they counted you whether you came or not. They just said 100% was there.
Right.
This is not the same thing. These are competitive races, but they can be cheated. They can be obviously stolen in certain locations. That's going to be a major story, but we're not really breaking any news by analyzing that.
So it's more of the riots and the resulting civil strife. And that could really on this show.
I don't see how you get into a conversation of they're not going to happen.
Okay.
And I think Trump knows that perfectly well.
Do you think the...
Really spinning up a lot of not too bright people, I'm afraid.
Would they extend the deadline to count it or like make exceptions?
How?
Like,
it's in the Constitution. The when all these events happen is, you know... Firm. It's how do you not do that?
Hey man, it's COVID. These people, they'll do whatever. Maybe they'll even pass constitutional. If so, that's good for them.
Anything like that goes, there'll be a lawsuit in opposition. from somebody.
Oh, yeah.
And it'll go straight to the Supreme Court, and they'll have to decide, yes, the Constitution does mean you have to count them this day. Yes, it does mean all the states that didn't show up with their ballots don't count. Yes, it does mean the ones that are left over go forward. And what it'll mean 1 week ahead of time is that whatever idiot governor was talking about not having their vote will suddenly have to do it. Because that's the reality.
Do you know how long this is? Is it like 1 week, 2 weeks, a month?
Electoral Congress is held in December. Before Christmas, I believe.
Okay, so we're still looking at the end of that. We got at least 4 months then, maybe. 3.5, 4 months till it's finally decided. Because it's not going to be decided on election night.
Between the first Tuesday in November and mid-December.
They're going to fight it out. So that's a pretty long time.
Yes. And the system's actually designed to handle that. Right.
Right. Ironically, it was built for like horse and buggy time. And even though we got super fast electronics, it's actually maybe good for it to be that slow, old school way, right?
But January 20th, they'll swear in another president.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying there's going to be some other, you know, there's going to be attempts at this, and it's going to maybe even be distractions, like you're saying, spinning people up that aren't even paying attention to other shit going on.
I think there's
going
to be historically perspective-changing news coming out between now and November. like the releases, the events, the things that are said, the things that are done, the things that are going to be disclosed as having happened are going to shock the world, and no one can really predict some of that right now.
We have some COVID-20 coming.
That too.
But it's all good though, because actually today, stock market back all time high. Let's see, S&P 500 rising to a record close, 3389.
Five months.
Fully wiped out its coronavirus losses. Later. Let's see, just look at this rise and fall. So, real quick, just the numbers. We about 3300 is where it was in mid-February, dropped all the way to 2250, so that's pretty much cut almost exactly in third, right? And so then bounced all the way back. That's just the S&P.
Yeah, Dow went down to like 1970 or 1700 at one point.
That's true. That was, I think, yeah, it's a little bit more as a percentage basis. So we're looking
V-shaped recovery then.
V-shaped recovery.
Close to work.
And then but we're going to be talking about that. We got a lot of other stuff, though, on the news blitz. I'm glad we got into this topic to start the first session of the day, but we're kind of running low on time. Do want everybody to, of course, go to PrepperBroadcasting.com if you haven't yet. Bookmark that. Check out the continuity. Get those transcribed podcasts. You know, what I'm looking to do is up my prepper gear right now. In the next couple weeks before fall and winter. So I'm going to be looking through the discount codes. They got tons of them. PrepperBroadcasting.com and through the continuity. $60 a year. And you get, I think, you get at least two or three kind of member exclusive podcasts and articles per week. In addition to this 5, 6, 7 plus regular podcasts on Prepper Broadcasting Network. You help us out. We have no corporate sponsors and all that stuff. So it's a good deal for everyone. Good deal for everyone.
Yeah.
So all right. Well, we will be coming back with the News Blitz.
News Blitz.
Follow along. FutureDanger.com. Start reading ahead.
August 18th, students.
Be good pupil and read ahead in the book. We'll be right back. Patriot Power Hour.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Here at the Prepper Broadcasting Network, our mission has expanded, and we have decided to use our influence to aid in disaster recovery. PBN is offering up our airwaves to nonprofits and boots-on-the-ground organizations that are affecting disaster recovery. The real people out there rebuilding lives. From organizations that reestablish the supply chain to those who deliver aid and even organizations that rebuild shattered homes and lives. The future of disaster response does not lay in the hands of some government organizations. No, it's up to us, Disaster Coffee. It only makes sense that PBN would partner with Disaster Coffee. Disaster Coffee is selling outstanding coffee that is roasted to order and shipped right to your door. A portion of their profits will be directly donated to disaster recovery organizations like Grindstone Ministries, healthcare ready, and citizens assisting citizens. Disaster Coffee sources top quality beans that are roasted to order. You get coffee at its very best, but you also make a difference with every purchase. Disaster Coffee offers every customer the ability to join the national disaster relief effort. Get yours at disastercoffee.com.
Well, I didn't think you had it in you.
I'm your huckleberry.
Why, Johnny Ringo, you look like somebody just walked over your grave.
Fight's not with you, Holiday.
I beg to differ, sir. We started a game we never got to finish. Play for blood, remember?
I was just fooling about.
I wasn't.
Achieve situational awareness of multiple threat indicators in one view. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
Patriot Power Hour. We're back for that August 18th, 2020 news blitz. Let's head right on over FutureDanger.com. Let's just not even get fancy, just simply go left to right. Trending articles at the top. Portland prosecutor likely to drop charges against rioters who injure cops. It's a quote, instinctive reaction. Ex-FBI lawyer pleads guilty in a Trump-Russia probe review. Not trending necessarily, but of even more import. The second highest level of threat on the dashboard. Democrat VP presumptive nominee's former press secretary is Twitter's top censor. Washington Post calls out NBC fake news on Wuhan lab. We'll see a related article later. In the fourth column, YouTube banning videos that could interfere with the election. That is at 1984. Highest single day of COVID-19 deaths. That wasn't. Definitely check that story out. We're going to skip by a couple articles that are a little more topical. But they're related to elections are stolen, which is what we just covered in the first part. So a few articles there you can certainly check out. But moving on, Canada and the Mexican COVID-19 travel ban is extended. The neighbors of both North and South don't want Americans in. Maybe build that wall. Maybe they're on Team Trump now. Chicago residents wait months for permission to defend themselves. This is under the indicator, keeping and bearing arms is infringed. Pretty high level. Another article here, in women's death certificate lists COVID-19 despite never being tested for COVID-19. That and more, and of course at the bottom, the prepping advisory, perfect for the PBN. All different types of articles. And, of course, right towards the top, a link to PrepperBroadcasting.com. Live Prepper Podcasts. Moving on, second column. We got some smoldering issues that could lead to bigger things, but nothing too crazy, hopefully. The U.S. Army is saying that North Korea has 60 nuclear weapons and smallpox on missiles, so I don't know if that's actually been reported before. That's pretty big news, actually. Continuing, Chinese president tightens grip on domestic security forces in its first broad purge. France sends navy to eastern Mediterranean amid Turkey-Greece standoff, that ancient rivalry. Proud Boys and Antifa protesters brawl in Michigan. Portland mob beats a man unconscious after making him crash his truck. Continuing, China increasing military drills. Chinese Communist paper accuses the U.S. of flying spy planes near mainland, masked as commercial airlines. Stone Mountain seeing some more action. Another armed protest. I believe mostly peaceful so far, but still. I think this is one of three SHTF level articles
happening right now.
So we have, say, 50 plus articles on future danger. Only a few are at this highest level, but here's one. Ex-CIA officer charged with spying for China. So it's coming out. We've been seeing the rhetoric kind of turned up all around, definitely by the administration, but by others as well. China's been committing espionage or even sabotage, et cetera, et cetera. Well, now an ex-CIA officer is charged with spying for China. Let's move on to the third column real quick. We're seeing some rolling blackouts in California. 2 million, in fact, undergoing different levels of blackouts. Heat is just beginning. Worst power shortage in 2 decades for California since the infamous Enron stuff, I believe. But anyway, 3.3 million California homes could lose power. So 2 million so far, could be another 1.3 million. It's a fair amount. Federal government budget deficit climbs $2.81 trillion. Wow. Doesn't even seem real. We talk about this every week. Get a little numb to it, but that's just a crazy amount. Excuse me. These budget deficits everyone was complaining about used to be $800 billion, $900 billion. Well, this one will be $2.81 trillion just in 1 year. Spending 100% more than it collects. And overall federal government debt by 2028 is expected to surpass $78 trillion. Dollars, gosh.
We'll
keep. I have a lot to say, but I'll just keep moving because it's supposed to be the news blitz. Car line stretches more than a mile at Texas food giveaway. Nearly a third of Americans had unpaid housing bills in August. That's crazy. A third of Americans unpaid housing bills, and the stock market is back at all-time highs.
Makes sense of that.
Delinquent FHA, Federal Housing Administration, mortgages break record 60%. 60% for 60% those.
No good.
That's not good. So it's in the almost subprime level or, you know, special qualifications, etc. 60% delinquent. Amazing. Move on to the fourth column. Let's try to, I mean, there's so much important stuff here, but I still got to try to keep on pace. Pretty full dashboard today, really. We saw a 6.0 earthquake near the coast of Tanzania. We're seeing a small swarm, but definitely some activity in the San Andreas Fault. 6.6 earthquake in the Philippines. Heck, there's a above 5.0 in North Carolina region recently. So nothing absolutely devastating, but seems to be ticking up a little bit. Death Valley hits 130 degrees, potentially the highest temperature on Earth in over a century. So that's definitely straining the air conditioning and the electricity as such. Searing heat wave continues to swell across the West. You can go check out the heat map at Future Danger. Let's go back to our favorite topic of 2020, COVID. You want to get in-depth into the origins of COVID-19? Got an article for you here under the indicator, labs lose control of pathogens. Another article under that. Again, this is the SHTF level. Might SARS-CoV-2 have arisen via serial passage through an animal host or cell culture? No. What? You know what I was watching the other day?
The answer is no.
Blade Runner. And you know what? Some sort of genetic wet market like that, where they make snakes and stuff, genetically maybe, but I don't think it's that. I think it's more government nefarious testing or who knows what. But point is, it's very questionable. We know the official story is BS. So anyway, look into that, do some research, Future Danger helping you get some good articles for that. Plague in California, the first human case reported in 5 years. Wow. Longest monsoon in 33 years batters the Korean Peninsula. Scores are dead. Oil spill and a couple other things. But that really, I think, brings it full spectrum. I bring it back. So much to talk about. I didn't even cover it all. We got about 2 minutes before we go to break. Let me have it. What are you looking at?
Yeah, those labs leaking pathogen indicators are scientific papers that, you know, should put to end the discussion on if COVID-19 is natural, man-made. Unless they get refuted by other scientific papers that I can read and understand, the arguments in them are written plainly and as clear as day. That the things that they're seeing attached to the disease, it has spikes that don't exist on any coronavirus from bats. Never before seen in nature appendages that increase transmissibility. I mean, the articles are there. These are scientific research papers. It's a bad sign.
Well, the question is, will anyone believe it or bother to read it? I mean, myself, I have not read it. So, and I'm probably in the top 10% of people who care about this stuff. So what about the rest? Are those people that don't investigate or really look into it rationally, do they not count maybe in the grand scheme of things in this battle? They're not even in their arena.
They don't want to recognize what it means.
Yeah.
This is a man-made disaster.
One way or another, was it on purpose or accident?
Carrying it right now in the lab leaked its pathogens as accidental. Haven't seen the evidence that it was deployed, but certainly not natural. If you adhere to what those papers are saying.
Good news is a lot of my friends, just this is obviously anecdotal, a lot of them don't believe it's natural. They believe it's man-made.
A lot of people don't.
Yeah, so that's about all their extent of the knowledge, but at least to that degree, they don't trust it. They kind of think something's fishy here, so that's good. So anyway, going to break. We will be right back. Got a lot more to talk about on Patriot Power Hour. Stick with us. Got money, I'll do anything for you. Got
money, just tell me what you want me to. We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
The six principles for disaster preparedness. Use them to build a base of preparedness that will keep your family safe in the face of the next disaster. Find them and more at PrepperBroadcasting.com.
It was right after the revolution, right after peace had been concluded. And Ethan Allen went to London to help our new country conduct his business with the king. The English sneered at how rough we are and rude and simple-minded and on like that everywhere he went, till one day he was invited to the townhouse of a great English lord. Dinner was served, beverages imbibed. Time passed, as happens, and Mr. Allen found he needed the privy. He was grateful to be directed thence. Relieved, you might say. Now, Mr. Allen discovered on entering the water closet that the only decoration therein was a portrait of George Washington. Ethan Allen done what he came to do and returned to the drawing room. His host and the others were disappointed when he didn't mention Washington's portrait. And finally, his lordship couldn't resist and asked Mr. Allen had he noticed it, the picture of Washington he had. Well, what did he think of its placement? Did it seem appropriately located to Mr. Allen? Mr. Allen said it did. His host was astounded. Appropriate? George Washington's likeness in a water closet? Yes, said Mr. Allen, where it'll do good service. The whole world knows nothing to make an Englishman shit quicker than the sight of George Washington.
Achieve situational awareness of multiple threat indicators in one view. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
Ben the Breaker of Banksters, my co-host Future Dan. Got an update for you. Did our research. Have at it, sir. What you got for the peoples?
Breaking constitutional research. We started talking about the Electoral College in segment one without doing our homework, but now we have. So be ready. This is what we're facing after the first Tuesday in November election.
Okay.
That's gonna happen, I assure you. It's going to happen in every single jurisdiction, every state.
But this may be the more important date.
Yes. So each state's electors, after they count and certify and validate, and the Secretary of State for each state says this is the winner, the Electoral College votes go to the winner, right? In all but two states. Nebraska and Maine split them.
Okay.
But every other state, winner takes all, right? We know this. That's simple. We've seen it on many electoral evenings, okay? So those electors meet in their respective state capitals on the first Monday after the second Wednesday of December to cast their votes. Presumably, yeah. They're all party members, like, so they're going to vote for, you know, their nominee from their party, unless they're a faithless elector, and I'm not sure if any of that will play this year, but we're not getting into that right now. But this year, that's December 14th. Those Electoral College votes must take place in state capitals on December 14th.
So it's actually on, not on or before, it's on. Everybody on.
They all go on that day.
Okay.
The first Monday after the second Wednesday of December. And this year, that's December 14th. And on that day, their votes are reported to Congress. And if no candidate gets the majority, it goes to the House. And the House of Representatives elects the president, with each state delegation getting one vote.
Really?
So I guess that could tie too.
I don't know. I'm not a scholar.
Hadn't happened in our lifetime.
I certainly have but never it has even happened like in heard our this. Okay. I've rarely heard, I don't even think I've heard these details on this happening before. So pretty interesting for sure. Glad I did the research.
I don't think it'll end up in the House. But if enough states screw up their votes badly enough, it's gonna. And it's the old House. It's not the new House. Right? It's going to the current House controlled by Nancy Pelosi.
Well, exactly. That brings in a whole nother mess. Very interesting. I mean, like you said, looks like the election's going to take place. But what's going to happen between the first Tuesday in November and December 14th? That seems like it's more of a bigger deadline. And that whole period between then, obviously leading up to the election could be tense and stuff. But thereafter, it could really blow up while people are waiting. And then right around Christmas time, end of the year, you know, at least it'll be cold out. Most people don't go out and riot when it's freezing, but they got that rolling for you, but that's not good. But I think I have 6 weeks to get their stuff together. That should be enough. COVID be damned. So
the machinery will deliver a president.
Exactly. It's just, will people trust or believe it? And it's a double-edged sword, whether whoever you like, you know, both sides are going to be trying to screw each other over, in my opinion. You can try to say that the leftists will be pulling out even more stops, maybe that's fair, but I don't think either side will be innocent necessarily. So have at it. Politics are dirty, I guess, but what you're saying is the constitutional, you know, machinery in place is strong enough and was built for this type of situation. So it'll keep rolling regardless.
If enough states blow it and they can't hold honest votes and it all gets jammed in the courts, you could see the Supreme Court invalidating some state's entire vote because it was uncountable. And if that happens to a state or two or three, and it goes so that no candidate, Biden nor Trump, gets to 270, it goes to the House, and then the House votes with 50 different delegations. How many state delegations have an even number of members in the House? Because I don't even know how they break that tie.
That's a good tiebreak. I don't know. I guess
they'd hold a vote, and if a delegation can't decide because they're evenly split,
yep,
then that state's vote doesn't count either. You wouldn't even get a 50 vote in the House. You get like a
24-22.
Yep. With whatever remainder couldn't even come to a decision.
Call that a majority decision in boxing and MMA. One draw and two victories.
It's kind of like the NFL and NBA tiebreaker rules for seeding for the playoffs.
Yeah.
They have figured it out long ago down to a level where it'd be real hard to not have an election. And every time the president says something about postponing it,
why is he saying that?
To spin up people that don't know better, I guess.
You sure?
It has to be, because someone there has to be able to tell him that it's not going to play out that way. He might get cheated like crazy in many, many states and lose. That's on the table. But not having the election, that's not on the table.
Okay. I definitely get where you're coming from. I will say, we won't be talking too much about this between now and the election. We're hitting it hard tonight because that's just one of the trends I've really been seeing, especially with him talking about it, but others as well, and everyone getting spun up. But it's kind of that Trump derangement syndrome, too. The more he says it, the more people freak out and talk more and more about it. But it's going to be a crazy time regardless. Totally switching gears and getting back to the prepper roots of Prepper Broadcast and Network. Give me some advice or some thoughts on maybe what I should be considering for civil unrest, maybe that I'm not considered, you know, not have looked into much before. So, of course, I have some security, if you know what I mean. But could we be looking at massive power outages if the riots get too crazy and people go shoot out transformers? Besides the basics, food, water, security, what other preps? I mean, we've talked about sandbags before, sandbagging your house. Maybe that's legit, maybe not. What other kind of, I'm just thinking myself, civil strife and rioting. What else can I look at to get ready, you think?
Well, if there's murder and arson near your house, sandbagging your house is totally legitimate. Defending it.
No, I mean, that's right.
I'd look at the supply chain. It suffered a shock in March. Yeah. And it couldn't deliver the way people expected. You'll see, you know, the foolish knee-jerk go buy toilet paper, you know, panic buying again. Hopefully you're not affected by that because you're already ahead of that curve.
Well, yeah, definitely for that portion, I guess.
But take a good look at the things that went scarce in March, and just the only thing you can expect is some portion of those things are going to be scarce again, and then there's going to be other things that are newly scarce. That I can't predict sitting here, but I guess I could speculate for a while.
And that's kind of where I was going to. Maybe it is totally speculation, and I just think what are those kind of items or even services? You know, one service I'm thinking of is I want to get my LASIK surgery done before it's too late. I want to make sure I go to the dentist before it's too late.
Yeah,
you know, so I'm just. Again, I know we're kind of just spitballing and I kind of thrust this question upon you without any warning, but I'm trying to think what would be off the radar, outside the box I'm not necessarily thinking of, just because I feel like it's going to, before you know, it's going to be October, and then it's going to be November, and it's going to be too late potentially, especially if COVID spikes again.
But my inclination is to say, and I'm not a preparedness expert by any means, you know, I'm on this network to talk about the news that, you know, you ought to focus on in order to prepare, but right. There's a lot of other hosts in here far more expert than I'll ever be on all these matters, and something tells me, my instinct would say that they would say, keep focusing on all the basics, and be as diverse in all your preps as you ever were, and I think from a news analysis perspective of the same issue, I'd agree, because all four of these columns could have earth-shattering news at any time up to and after the election. And you don't know from what direction you're going to be facing challenges that your preparedness is designed to affect. So probably the best move in the rest of 2020 is stay well balanced.
I like that. No, and actually, Intrepid Commander himself, James Walton, had a podcast. I think it was, late last week, probably. He was talking about just getting your food on point. Just getting those calories, getting that 50-pound bag of rice and some beans and some a couple different herbs and whatever, just to try to get ready and just get those basics. And I think you can apply that to other things as well. Just kind of cover the bases and stay nimble, but don't get too fancy, I guess, is what you're saying in a way. Don't overthink it too much.
Well, you got to think in most of the United States going into December time frame, the temperatures are dropping.
Yeah.
So if you're going to put any kind of focus on it, it would be probably normal winter preparedness, right? I don't see necessarily why we lose the power grid during the election time frame. But, there's adverse actors. There's no doubt about it that other countries try to influence our elections. This shouldn't be a surprise. It shouldn't really be that annoying. I mean, it's an actualized indicator tonight. We got a CIA officer charged for spying for China. You know that happens. We've had traitors in our past. We just caught another one, right? How bad does that sort of thing get in December simultaneous to, local grids going down, food supplies running, short, and
massive cyber attacks
and social unrest from an election outcome that people don't like.
A lot of stuff. We're not trying to fearmonger, though, for real. We're trying to look at the full spectrum, absolutely, what we do here on Patriot Power Hour, best we can.
Let me say something about that.
Okay.
I was listening to Rush Limbaugh the other day. That is total reactionary conservatism, where he will actually talk down on people who are projecting into the future like us. Now, his main enemy is the mainstream media, which sensationalizes anything that's negative for political gain against its political opponents. So that's his perspective. But he does have a harsh view on people who anticipate bad things coming and want to get in front of them. This show's about anticipating them, not just sitting here moping about them and throwing up our hands and saying, there's nothing you can do. But then again, like tonight, right in this segment, sometimes it's not easy to know what to do. Still, talking about what bad things could happen to our republic, I think it's patriotic and fair game.
Has to be. It's like disaster preparedness at its heart, but just kind of at a societal level. Not just, what happens if the power goes out. A lot of people
don't want to think that way. They're very reactionary, and they're part of the problem, too.
Well, that's what I kind of was getting at a little bit earlier, is that those people that don't actually care to do the research or to even try to truly understand, are they, on one hand, should we just ignore them? Or they're kind of also, though, like lemmings, and those can be dangerous. What I mean?
There's ostrich-like people in both parties, both sides of the aisle.
Absolutely.
They just don't want to, agree that anything terrible can happen. Stock market's at its pre-COVID crash high because of completely artificial stimulus, another bubble blown. Seems like most people are fine with that sort of manipulation.
Totally. Absolutely. They're fine as long as they get their unemployment check as well. And even though those have been kind of cut, several states have bounced that right back up. They're trying to add even more. And as long as you still got this free money, this U.S. dollar Federal Reserve currency of the world, it's going to be fine. But overnight, that could be lost. We'll see. Well, we're going to break. Got a lot more to cover, as always. Only about 10 minutes left on the Patriot Power Hour, though. We'll be back.
Of the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
The six principles for disaster preparedness. Use them to build a base of preparedness that will keep your family safe in the face of the next disaster. Find them and more at PrepperBroadcasting.com.
These things you say we will have, we already have.
That's true. I ain't promising you nothing extra. I'm just giving you life, and you're giving me life. And I'm saying that men can live together without butchering one another.
It's said that governments are chiefed by the double tongues. And there is iron in your words of death for all Comanche to see. And so there is iron in your words of life. No signed paper can hold the iron. It must come from men. The words of Ten Bears carries the same iron of life and death. It is good that warriors such as we meet in the struggle of life or death. It shall be life.
Achieve situational awareness of multiple threat indicators in one view. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
The final segment of Patriot Power Hour, episode 108, is coming to a close, but we got about 10 minutes left, and we're going to bow out and let the Next Generation show get on. You know, I think it's been exactly a 1 year, at least to the week, not maybe the day, where I made my infamous prediction of 0% or even negative interest rates by this time. So let's rewind it real quick. I think it was early to mid-August. It was right after I got back from Mexico.
It was just about 12 months ago.
Yep. I think almost exactly. If not, it was maybe next week. But let's just say it was this week, 1 year ago. We had just seen the Federal Reserve start to cut interest rates again after they had slowly raised interest rates and acted like they were going to deflate the bubble slowly and responsibly, finally, after a decade. Well, they reversed that. They started cutting interest rates. And then, of course, a few weeks later, started repo. Their madness.
Repo madness. Repo crisis.
Yep. But I remember saying, and we'll pull this clip. We're going to have to do this. I'm going to have to go back and do it myself. It's my task for homework. Go try to find and pull that clip. But essentially, I said, in 1 year, interest rates are going to be zero or negative in the United States. At that time, that was totally out of control. No one believed that, especially on CNBC.
U.S. federal paper, 0%.
Correct.
Not interest rates. Not my mortgage rate. Not your credit card rate. We're not talking about those rates. Extreme. We're talking about the rate at which buyers of U.S. treasuries are repaid.
Exactly. So, glad you brought that up. Because I started by saying, I remember I started by saying, oh, the Fed would do this and this. And then I said, okay, I'm going to actually baseline it and say it's for the 10-year U.S. Treasury. So I picked that instrument specifically. And looking at the graph right now, my guess is that at that time, interest rate was about 1.6%. It later bounced up to about 1.9%.
It actually had just gone under 1 for the first time ever. That's why you said it last summer.
Well, this...
In August. Or it was very close to touching it.
Okay, it had just hit like one of its lowest of all time. But yeah. it was at like 1.5. But it was like a record low. That's what happened. But since then, it's gone from 1.5 level down to 0.66. So, I wasn't correct. It didn't go from 1.5 to 0 or negative. But it did go from 1.5 to 0.6, which is about two-thirds of it, chopped out. And not only did that happen just in the last year, really, it happened since February. So since coronavirus.
Yeah, sure did.
So, and it really only took about two, three months, mid-February to mid-April. So
if you're new to the show, and you don't know what negative interest rate policy is, NERP, or zero, ZERP, we have a lot of episodes where we covered this, but it doesn't really make sense necessarily to go back and listen to those just for that reason. Just Google what negative interest rate policy is, and a year later, we're not there yet, but we sure did dip as close as ever to zero on the 10-year treasury, and the long-term effect on preppers is what, Mr. Cochran?
I think the most simple way is inflation in your basic goods, whether that could be, not even goods, could be land. Okay, land's not going to be getting cheaper. Getting those preps, whether it's a generator on Amazon or a tent or a rucksack or whatever you're looking for, it's going to go up in price in U.S. dollar terms at least. And I've seen that happen. I've already noticed food going up, but more importantly, things like an emergency generator. That used to be $280, is now $350, $400. I'm sure some of that's COVID, but some of it's this inflation too.
What's the link? Why is the rate at which the United States government borrows money over a 10-year period with a treasury note? You buy the note, you hold the note, you get paid back. Why is that thing going near zero, which is strange? Most common sense people would say, what am I buying it for if I can't turn a profit on it? That's why I buy it. There's nearly no profit in it right now. How does that lead to higher consumer prices?
Really, it's a lot. It's probably two or threefold. There's a lot of it. That's why this is so important. But it really permeates the entire economy. And, of course, the stock market we've seen all this artificial money and low interest rates that pumps up, quote-unquote, investment, and you'll see the earnings coming, you know, increasing over time. It's kind of fake, and it's not real production. It's just debt spending, as we talked about. So you'll see that, but I think a big portion of it is the housing market right now and commercial lending as well in America. So the housing market has continued to kick some ass. The only reason is because of this massive cut up in interest rates. If this didn't take place, if we didn't see these massive interest rate cuts as well as all the forbearance that the banks have been giving to, you know, the 30%+ of people that are behind on their mortgage payments, then we would have seen massive crashes all across pretty much all asset classes. And that actually, in the long run, would help things kind of rebalance. But we're not. Instead, they're throwing money at things. So, riddle me this. The same amount of people actually producing food and prepper equipment and whatever else you want, right? The same amount of production, or even less, because a lot of these businesses are going out. The same amount. But there's a lot more money out there. You may not be getting more money, but other people are, so they can outbid you. And it's just the magic of economies, magic of math. Over time, that price level increases. And if you're not getting some of that stimulus, you're going to be definitely losing purchasing power.
Yeah, nothing's for free. There's no free lunch.
Absolutely.
All these things are intricately combined. And if you dedicate a little bit of time to know which the worst numbers to watch out for, stay ahead of it, prices by December could be something different than right now.
And here's another thing, totally different but absolutely related, is taxes. Okay, you think they're going to keep this deficit up? Well, they might, but they're not going to cut their spending, okay? Especially if Biden and friends getting in there. So what are they going to do? They're going to raise taxes. They're going to raise taxes not just on corporations. They're going to raise them all across the board. Maybe that'll be anti-inflation, but it'll also be anti-jobs, which will require more stimulus, more, you know, kind of that transfer payment, welfare, spiral of death, where, hey, if you want slop, GMO garbage food, you can still get it for a dollar or two.
Yeah,
but if you
want
real food, it's going to be $50 for a sirloin steak or something.
In products, in terms of products, you may see deflationary on the prices. But the quality, the variety, the availability is going to not be what we would hope.
Yep, definitely. And really also, just from a big picture, like almost national security point of view, this is like the nation's piggy bank. Not just the deficit spending, but the ability to use the interest rates as needed by the Fed. You know, even in their own Fed speak, which of course I don't subscribe to, they talk about how it's super important and they have all this power. They got to use it judiciously. Well, they pretty much hamstrung themselves because they pinned themselves in a corner. They really can't debt spend more. If they tax, it'll destroy the economy. If they do more quantitative easing, well, they're trying that route. That's really the one. They're trying all this stuff still, but it's running out of steam. And if another major emergency or war takes place, we got no reserves. You know what I mean? You thought we were in a bad position a year ago, overextended with our military and budget and all that. I mean, it's so much worse just today. We don't have a rainy day fund at all anymore.
Yeah, that under a much worse crisis, it goes complete command economy. It goes complete central control.
Yeah, and it's almost hard to argue against that if things get so bad. I mean, I certainly don't want a dystopia, but I also, you know, kind of that president's executive orders or whatever to keep some essential services so we don't have nuclear power meltdowns or power outages and our sanitary system works. You know, if trash doesn't come around for a month or two, you're going to see big disease spikes, et cetera, et cetera. So that's kind of where I'm coming from.
Hey, speaking of which,
interest rates are related to everything, and it sounds nerdy, but it is important. And they're playing games with that. So in 1 year from now, do I predict it to be negative? Not sure, but certainly seems like there's no way they're going to be able to go back up to 1% or higher at this rate.
And we did all of episode 108 without really focusing on coronavirus. We got, obviously, scientific papers that are strongly pointing to the fact that it's not natural, but just its effect in the country right now is the same idiocy as it was 2 weeks ago, best I can tell.
Yeah, I feel like it definitely has hit bottom and kind of is rising back up. But the question is, will it just kind of have this slow burn? Yeah, there's still infections, there's still deaths, but it's not really the end of the world. Or are we going to see mutations or maybe even just used as propaganda? Maybe it won't even get worse, but it's winter time now. It's going to be worse. And everybody who has the flu will be presumed to have COVID, and it'll really shut everything down. Because the normal flu will be out there still, and it has very similar effects. That's going to freak people out. So, no, I agree. But there also could be a big spike or some other thing. So hard to tell, hard to tell.
Yeah, COVID-19 is not going away. It's a permanent part of our picture. We get the election coming up, and finances of this nation are on shaky ground. So keep paying attention to the news. Keep prepping, because I don't think we're out of this year by a long shot without more trouble.
Keep prepping. If you didn't listen to James Walton's podcast last week about food, that got me off my ass. I got a little bit more food
motivated
prep, you know, in the stash. So don't just forget about, or don't just worry about your household. What about your neighbors? What about your in-laws, etc.? So you might have 3-6 months of food, a year of food for yourself, but what happens if 5-10 unexpected guests come from? You might turn them away, maybe not, you know. So just food for thought, not pun intended. Anyway, Patriot Power Hour. We're making room for next generation. It was another good show, Future Dan.
We'll be back for episode 109 next week. Great show, Ben.
Awesome. We'll be back. Thanks, folks. Keep up the good fight.
Listen to the mariachi play at midnight. Are you with me? Are you with me? I want to dance by water beneath the Mexican sky. Drink some margaritas by swinging blue lights. Listen to the mariachi play at midnight. Are you with me? Are you with me?